You're listening to a Dwell Community Church production. If you'd like to check out more resources, visit dwellcc.org.
So we've been in this study on prayer for a while, and I don't even know every teaching that was done, every topic, but you know, you could talk about intercessory prayer, where we're praying for other people, or things when we're praying for ourselves. And I think Lee Campbell did a teaching on lament as prayer, the idea of sharing our pain and our grief with God. There's a lot of different aspects of prayer that we can talk about, and I just want to remind us of a few things about prayer in general. You know, at its core, prayer is relationship with God. At its core. Right? Christianity, at its core, is about a relationship that I or we have with our Heavenly Father. It's about relationship. You know, you look at the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there are, you know, it's multifaceted. There's different things that you could say about it. But one decent summary of the gospel is that God personally entered human history in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. He lived among us. He told us what he was about. And then he went to the cross. He allowed himself to be crucified or executed in order to pay the debt that we owed him. He entered into history and died so that he could span or bridge the chasm that existed between us and a perfect God. And he did that because, and this is the part that just, you know, for me is just bizarre on a certain level. He did that because he wanted to know me, right? He wanted to have a relationship with me. And so what we're told is that Christ did everything necessary to make it possible for us to enter into a relationship with him. And the only thing that's required, which actually can be pretty challenging, the only thing that is required is that we have the humility to admit to God that we don't have what it takes. I can't save myself. I can't rescue myself. I need what only God can provide. And then to turn in humility towards God and ask him for the gift that he is generously offering us. It's as simple as us just turning to God and saying, you know, Lord, I know I need what only you can provide. I need your forgiveness to apply to me. And if we do that and ask for it, he says he moves into our lives in that moment. And from that moment on, it's as opposed to him being far away and alienated from God, we now are brought into his household. We are his sons, his daughters. We're part of his family. And so Christianity, at its core, is about our relationship with God. And prayer is an extension of that. Biblical authentic prayer is not ritual or the saying of special words. Now, I grew up in a religious context that's frankly like most religious contexts in the world, right? Sometimes, you know, it could be under the umbrella of Christianity or any of the other great world religions where prayer, really what prayer was about was saying special words at special times in a special way. And that's what prayer looked like, but that's not the picture that the Bible gives. Prayer at its core is about person-to-person interaction. Now, God is one of the people, and so it's different than when I'm just simply talking to you. Okay, he is God, and there's things about God that are different than us. But at the center of it, he created me in his image as a person, and he is a person. And in a real way, it's not significantly different than how we communicate with one another in terms of our speaking to him. Now, we'll look at a passage. This is like one of the key passages for today. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Okay, and it's just really simple and clear. Paul says, pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. Now, if you're like me, and I just have to be honest, okay? I'm just going to be really honest. This is not what I would call a great strength of mine, okay? It just isn't. And I look at that, it's like praying all the time. All the time, is that really what he's saying here? And so that is, on the face of it, fairly challenging. So you think, well, okay, maybe the broader context, maybe the context around this verse would help, you know, explain it or soften it a little bit. And so, okay, let's look at that. And so verse 16 says, rejoice always. Always be rejoicing. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks to God. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, the truth is, this didn't make it easier. In some ways, this just made it harder. Always be happy. Never stop praying. And always be thankful to God in everything we do. That didn't make it easier in my mind. And so, you know, when we look at it, and maybe you think, well, okay, the Greek, somehow the Greek will soften it. Maybe it's translated wrong. Okay, well, you know what without ceasing means? Constant, ongoing, unbroken. And that's the picture that Paul is describing here, is this ongoing, unbroken, never-ending interacting with God. Like I said. So how are you doing with that? All right? I mean, I'm telling you, I failed already today, let alone, and I'm supposed to be teaching on this today. But that's the picture that we're given. And one of the pictures that comes to my mind when I think about unending prayer is like, here's a guy in a cave or in a monastery somewhere who spends all day and all night praying. You know, he's praying, he falls asleep, he gets up, he's praying some more. Okay, he's got to eat a little and, you know, stuff like that. But it's just constant, unending. That's all he does is pray day and night. And there's part of us that, at least for me, that doesn't seem really realistic. You know, I don't know how long I'd be employed if I lived my life that way. My wife would probably have some concerns. But is that the picture? Because that's how, in various times in history, in various places, that's the response. To be really godly and dedicated to God, you go off into a place by yourself and you just pray all the time. That's one of the pictures. We look at other passages as well, but if we think about constant, ongoing, unbroken prayer, prayer without ceasing. The fact is, like I was telling Ben earlier today, I honestly do better at fretting without ceasing. You know, I was talking to one of my colleagues, Dave Glover. We work in missions together. You know, it's part of my job. And we were laughing about it because, you know, just like anything else, there's always issues and problems and concerns, and we'll be talking about them and trying to come up with solutions. And then it dawns on us, you know, maybe we should pray about this. I'm really good at fretting. Now, I don't ever view it that way. I don't view it that way. How I view it is I'm being responsible and trying to figure out the best solutions for the problems that we face, you know, which is just fancy fretting, you know, or the hope of productive fretting. But praying without ceasing, man, that is not easy for me. Then we look at another passage, which actually makes it even harder. So this is the night before Jesus, his execution. It's the hardest moment in his life up to this point where he realizes he's going to be executed. He's asking his closest friends to pray with him. And he comes and says to Peter, he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so you men could not keep watch with me for even 1 hour? You couldn't stay awake and pray for even an hour. He's rebuking them. Now, the truth is, often, especially early in the morning, when I haven't had my coffee yet, it's hard for me to keep my mind on prayer for 2 minutes. My mind starts to drift. I start thinking about other things. But here, these guys are being rebuked because they couldn't pray for an hour. So how are we to make sense of this, right? This seems like a really challenging statement. We can look at another passage. Maybe this helps to flesh it out a little bit. So for 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, Paul says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all things to the glory of God. So this idea of doing all things, whatever we do it for the glory of God. Well, this seems to be saying that everything we do should be in reference to the God who is there, or connected to the God who is there, and for the God who is there. It's hard to do that without having God in your mind when you do it, right? If I'm doing something for someone, they're in my mind when I do it. But if I'm, so in the same way, if I'm trying to do whatever, everything I do with reference to God or for God, in some way, God's supposed to be in my mind. Does that make sense? Well, it doesn't me anyway. You got another passage, Colossians 3, 16 and 17. He says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And so again, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And so this seems to be saying, again, that in all we do, we should be doing it with God in our minds, for God, and while giving thanks for God, right? Challenging. I don't know what percentage of my day, but there's plenty of my day every day where that is not how I'm living and operating. I definitely was not doing it when I'm watching Ohio State lose, except God, oh God, why have you forsaken me? You know, that kind of a thing. I mean, it was like in that moment, the sad thing is, just as a side note, I had a house guest, the son of one of my friends who from Africa. He's studying at Ball State in Indiana. He came and stayed with us for Thanksgiving. This guy thought it would be fun to root for Michigan in my house. Oh, I had to do some praying at that. He's just laughing at me when they lost. And I'm like, I don't think you understand. It was bad. I needed more Jesus in that moment. So what are we supposed to do with this? What are we supposed to do? Pray all the time. Ongoing, unending prayer. Give thanks all the time and everything we do. Do everything with God in mind. What are we supposed to do with this? Because then, there are people in this room I know who are better at this than I am, but I'm pretty sure the all the time, everything, everywhere is something we fall short of. So what does it mean to do all things with God in mind? And what does that really look like? I think that's what I want to spend the rest of our time looking at. And so prayer, like I said, at its core is relating to God. He's a person. And so we should think about this in relational terms. I think frequently when we start thinking about prayer, if you are sitting here today and saying, my prayer life is not what it should be, I think what we start doing is we start coming up with a plan. I should do this, and I should set this time out, and maybe I should pray this way. But I want us to think about it in relational terms. God is a person. Now, of course, he's different than any other person who has ever been. But he is a person. A person. It's not a distant force. Okay? And I know in our heads, we know, okay, God's a person. We know that. We know that. But in practice, in our hearts, a lot of times I think we interact with him as if he is something other than that and distant and not really a person. God is ever present. That's a fancy way of saying he's sitting next to you right now. He's right there. That can be a little disconcerting, right? He's right there, especially if we're doing, having thoughts we wish we weren't having or something like that. But he's right there. He's right with us. He's right next to us everywhere we go. Right? He walks beside you everywhere we go. You get up in the morning, God is there. You go out to the grocery store, God is there. You get on a plane to visit friends, God is there. God is always there. and available. He's eager. You ever get a call from a friend or somebody wants to talk to you and you feel a little put out by it? It's not quite convenient. You know, I frequently get, you know, especially with my daughters, before they had husbands, you know, their car would break down and they needed dad to come help them. Now, I always did, but I wasn't always singing in my heart when I did it, right? It was as if it was inconvenient or someone wants to talk to you, right? And you're like, oh, okay, how can I help you? That's not how God is. He is always eager to meet us, to talk to us, to make himself known to us. He's eager. He's excited. You know, whoever that person is, for me, you know, it's like when my children are coming over to spend time with us, I'm not like, oh, what a drag. I'm like, yes, here come my kids and I'm going to be able to find out how things are with them. He's eager. He's aware. Sometimes we feel like nobody really understands us. Are you one of those people? And if you're not one of those people, you know somebody who is. Nobody gets me. God does. He is aware. He knows our struggles. He knows our strengths, our weaknesses. He knows what's best for us. He understands us better than we understand ourselves. He's aware. And he's available. Right? You know, you call your friend, you want to talk to him, and they say, hey, hold on. Can I call you back in an hour? I'm in the middle of something. And we go, yeah. God never does that. He never says, hey, wait a second. You know, I got a lot going on here. I'm trying to keep Jupiter in orbit, right? Can you just hold on? He never does that. He never says, wait a minute, I'll get back to you. He's there. He's available. He's ready. So what we're imagining is a person who's standing next to you, walking with you, sitting with you, while, you know, driving with you, working alongside you, who's always there. Now, if that were a human, I would frankly find that very irritating, right? This weekend, I had a lot of house guests. I had a lot of house guests, and I had a niece and a nephew who... One of them lives in town. One of them came from Penn State. That cat had a good day. But he came and they're around and they wanted to talk and they were there. And you know what? When they left at 4 o'clock on Sunday, I was okay with that. I was okay. I need a little me time. That picture of God, we could view that as sort of irritating. So here I'm going to say something perhaps irreverent. God can be irritating. He can irritate our agenda. He can irritate our plans. He can irritate our thoughts. There's times when we want to avoid what he has to say to us, and he's right there kind of going, hey, man, hey, man, hey, man, hey, man. And we're like, I don't want to hear it. There is an aspect where our response, because we're fallen human beings sometimes, is we just want to keep him at a distance. But he's there, he's eager, he's waiting. What we have to add to this picture is that he is the best possible friend you could ever have. Yes, he is the Lord, and he is God Almighty, and he's the creator of all things. He is the author and sustainer of all life. He is an amazing, awesome, incredible God, who is also generous and kind and compassionate. There is simply no greater friend that we could ever have than God himself, who is eager, available, waiting, and my friends, so generous, so generous. And so we look then at a passage like John 15:9, right? And here Jesus says that as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Abide in my love. Live in my love. Dwell in my love. Stay in my love. Now, some of that, of course, is theological, right? Understanding what that means and so forth. But at the core, again, this is about relationship. What Jesus is saying is remain, do what's necessary to stay in the circle of this love relationship that I have provided for you. And if we think about prayer as love relationship, as opposed to whatever else it is, it changes the calculus. It changes the perspective, I think, at least for me. I find this deeply important for myself to keep remembering, is that it's about my love relationship with this person who is so worthy of my love. One author said it this way: praying is loving, and learning to pray means learning to love. Okay? And I think that's fairly well said. Learning to love. So, if we think about prayer as a love relationship, we think about that, I just start thinking about my wife. 37 years, and I'll be honest, and she would agree, they were not 37 amazing years. There were several of those years that were really hard. And both of us had a lot to learn. We had to learn about him and one another. God had to do some transformation in our life. But I can say I have a pretty good marriage, and I just love, love, love my wife. It's the best human love relationship I have at this point. It should be. And so we are frequently driving across country together. Now, in the past, it was with our kids, and, you know, the people are different. When I get in a car to drive, I like driving across country. I enjoy it. I like seeing it. I even like driving across Kansas because it's different, all right? I like seeing the country. I like seeing what's going on. I have a pretty long endurance. I've driven 16 hours straight multiple times in my life. I can do it, and I enjoy it. It's getting a little harder than it used to be. But for me, like, we would be, you know, yeah, there'd be some talking, but then we'd listen to, when my kids were younger, we'd listen to an audio book or listen to music. And if it's just me, that's what I would be doing. And I get into driving mode. I'm focused on driving, I'm looking at what's going around, and periodically I remember my wife sitting there. Hey, do you need anything? My wife, she views this as a very different kind of opportunity. This is an opportunity for us to relate. A year and a half or two, I can't remember, we were going to Asheville, North Carolina, and I don't know, that's maybe 7 hours, I forget. And she says, fine, we can go, but you have to talk to me. My wife views this as an opportunity for interaction, for discussing. And she wants to talk about what's going on, talk about her kids, talk about her ministry, talk about the Bible. You know, she'll open up the Bible in the car and she'll be talking about things. She loves, I mean, that woman can chat me up the entire way. Okay, and it's kind of awesome. But I'm driving. Now, I am mostly listening to her, but I am not giving any indication at all that I am. And so she's talking away, right? She's talking away, and I'm just going in my head, I'm processing what she's saying, but I don't go, uh-huh, yeah, that's good. And so she'll periodically, you're not even listening to me. So I've had to learn to listen, and when I'm listening, to engage. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, tell me about that. You know, and actually engage in the opportunity that we have. That's one aspect. It's active listening in terms of building a relationship. Now, there's also doing for my wife, right? I'm a modern man, you know? I do all kinds of stuff around the house. It's really funny when I go overseas and I spend time in more traditional cultures, they don't even have a category for a dude like me. These guys have never cooked anything in their life. You know, that kind of stuff. I cook, I clean, I do laundry. Now, my wife folds the laundry. I don't do that. I clean up. I do most of the grocery shopping. I do a lot of stuff, and part of it is my wife. I love her. My wife works full time. She's a social worker. It's a hard job. Part of it is I'm doing things for her to try to make it easier. I'm trying to help carry the load of our lives together. All of it's good. That's not the same thing as relating to her, is it? I mean, what are you talking about? I did this for you, I did this for you, I did this for you, I did this for you. Come on. Look, I mean, how could I be any better, right? That's how a lot of us do. You know, a lot of us men, we feel that way. It's not the same as relating. A lot of times, that's how we approach God. There's all these things I do, and this is like my natural disposition. There are things I do for God. I do, right? I serve people, I do this, I do that, whatever. And they're good and they're right, but it's not the same as relating to Him. And it doesn't make up for the lack of that in the same way it doesn't in a marriage. Then there's responding to my wife. So my wife might want to share a concern with me, or she's got something she wants to, something she wants to speak to in my life, right? Maybe some aspect of correction. And I, of course, always respond very well. Thank you, dear. It is so good, and I'm so grateful to have a wife in my life who cares enough about me to challenge me. Of course not. I feel defensive. I feel distracted. I'm also like, there's times she wants to talk to me about something that she's concerned about, and I just don't want to do it right then. I mean, part of her joke with me, there's about a 45-minute period every day where it's okay to talk to me about hard things, because, that sort of stuff. That's also, a lot of times, God's got stuff to say, and we don't interact with it. We don't respond well to it. And then they're sharing my heart with my life. I can do all these other things. I can be a good listener and understanding. I can do things for my wife. I can respond well. But in terms of a relationship, if I'm not actually talking about what's going on with me, then we don't really have that good of a relationship. It's one-sided, and I'm not sharing my own heart with her. And the same thing with God. So when we think about building a love relationship, any kind of love relationship, how do we do it, right? Well, when we think about prayer, there are all kinds of plans out there. Now, I am not down on the plans. I want to be clear about that. But there are, Bible study plans and prayer plans, and there are ideas of, a format for our prayers, and I'm not down on any of those things. I'm just not. And I have found many of them helpful to me. But I'm not going to sit up here and tell you, here's what I think you ought to do. In part because what's more important is we need to keep it relational. Whatever we're doing, we need to think about it in terms of relationship. So, how do you build a relationship? Any kind. Well, there's time spent, right? If I want to have a friendship with Katie Downs, I cannot do that without actually ever spending time with her and talking with her, right? You can't have there's no relationship without actual time spent together. And so we have to allocate time. Now, like I remember, man, early on when I was dating my wife, I was eager to spend time with her. I'd look forward about it, I'd think about it. I'd find myself driving past her house, even though that wasn't the way I needed to get home, just in case I might see her, right? I was enthusiastic. And that's how it was when I first came to Christ as well. I was enthusiastic to spend that time. To have a relationship, time has to be spent. We need to learn about the person. I learned about my wife. I learned about her background. I learned about what she was interested in. I learned about her talents and likes and so forth. We learn about the person. We share ourselves with the person. Talk about what we're interested in, so forth. We find common interests. What do we have in common? Now, in the case of God, He's God, so He gets the lead on that. And then there's the little things that we do. All right, I've been married 37 years. All right, we don't just have a date night or these set times. It's like in the morning when I get up, if there's good morning, how are you? Before I leave to go to work, I tell her I love her. I check in with her throughout the day. How are you? I might call her, I might text her, just find out how things are. There's the little touches and the little things that we do in order to build a love relationship over time. So in a similar way, when we think about this, here's an example. And this is just going to sound so corny. When you try to build a relationship with God, how about first thing in the morning when you wake up, you just say hello? Hello, God. You don't have to get on your knees in a special room and say, oh, Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful for you. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. I mean, that's okay too, but how about just simply saying hello? He's there, he's with you, and just turning to him and recognizing at the first thing in the day that he's with you. Now, this is a little challenging for me. I sleep badly. I wake up every 95% of mornings, not every morning, I wake up and I feel terrible. And all I can think about is how can I get some caffeine in so I can even, you know, I don't want to talk to anybody, but even in that state, I will still say good morning to my wife and then rush and then run away. We can say, you don't have to feel good. You just say, all right, God, hello, I know you're here. What do you have for me today? We can listen to him, and we should. And primarily, this means that we start getting into the Word of God. And we spend some time, and we're reflecting, what does God have to say to me today? We look at the Word, and then there's what he might want to say to us as we're talking to him or through somebody else. But part of it is also talking to him about it, right? Imagine my wife starts telling me, here's something I'm concerned about. And I go, okay. And then I just turn and I start saying, can you do this for me? 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 How would that go between my wife and I? Probably not that well. That's often how we talk to God. We look at his word and we go, uh-huh. And then we turn to him and say, would you do this and do this? How about interacting with him about what we just read? You know, this was amazing. Wow, that is really cool. Help me understand it. Is there something you want me to see through this? Again, in a relational way. As you leave the house, do any of you guys have like leaving the house rituals? I have leaving, like I make sure. My wife works, she's a social worker, she works out of the house. I tell her I'm leaving. I tell her I love you, I tell her I'll see you later. Oftentimes I give her a hug goodbye before I leave. In a similar way, as we're getting ready to go out and do whatever we do, we just say, all right, God, you're with me, here we go. What are we gonna do today? What do you have for me today? Just those kinds of things. As you're going through your day, in the same way you stop and you check in on your spouse or you check in on friends, you just stop and you turn to God and you say, you're working. Well, Lord, help me do this well. Or you saw the news and you didn't like what you saw. Lord, okay, this bums me out. What do you think about this? There's a situation that you're hearing about in someone else's life. God, what do you think about this? It's just bringing the normal things of our life to God on an ongoing way. And as you're going to meet people, right? You're coming here, we're going to hang out with friends, we're going to go to a prayer meeting or a Bible study, or we're going to go get coffee with a friend, whatever it is. And as we're going, okay, God, this is somebody who you love also. What might you have here? Is there something that you want to accomplish here? Is there something that you want me to say? It doesn't have to, just even something like that is the beginning of developing the sense of praying throughout the day. Then we look at it, we go back to this verse in John 15:9, and this idea of abiding in my love. The whole point we're trying to get at is what does it look like to relate to God in a loving relationship in an ongoing way throughout the day? So, we think about this. What does ongoing prayer look like? First of all, it's about a relationship. Have I said that enough times? It's about a relationship. And in any way, I'm just going to hammer this as hard as I can. As we think about praying, we have to remember it's a relationship. And like any relationship, there's the listening, there's the, we're hearing from, we're talking to, we're sharing in the same way we would try to do with normal people. We're listening to what God has for us in his word as we're praying. I have a hard time, you know, the whole idea of practicing quiet. As soon as it gets quiet, my mind starts going to other things. I get distracted really easy. And it's so much so that actually if I'm praying for a long period of time by myself, I have to pray out loud. Because if I'm praying in my head, all of a sudden I find myself at a certain point going off somewhere, you know, I'm just off. I'm daydreaming or I'm thinking about another thing. But to stop and to listen and to ask him, is there something you're trying to communicate to me through your word, through people, or through your directly to me through your Holy Spirit? It's sharing. Now, there's a difference between sharing and griping, you know, but even that, I think a lot of, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I think a lot of us have a hard time with the idea of really turning to God and sharing our problems with him, our concerns or our feelings, right? Feelings. Oh, I don't even like, there's no one I want to talk to about my feelings. But to share those things with him, you know, to look at examples that we see in the book of Psalms where David is just pouring his heart out to God, sharing. We're working together. Part of any good relationship is common interest. Now, the difference here, right? It's not that God is disinterested in what you're into, but there are some things that he is really interested in that he's trying to get us to align ourselves with. And as we're thinking about and we're praying about and as we're meeting with people, it's having that perspective in mind. God is with me. God is trying to accomplish something in these people's lives. How can I participate in that? We bring God in more and more in the small moments of life. So what I mean by this, instead of coming up with some kind of plan and a schedule for yourself throughout the day where you have these times when you're going to pray, maybe that'll work for you. But if we practice bringing God into the small moments of our day over time, and we do that and we build that up over time, it grows and our relationship strengthens. You understand? It's like just like in a marriage, a good marriage or anything else, as we are bringing this person more and more into my life and I'm more and more into her life, that bond strengthens in a similar way. Is that as we are going through our life, if we're bringing God in to our concerns, our worries, the things we're doing, our joys, you know, I'm a guy. I do frequently stop and thank God for things. You know, like this past fall, it was pretty amazing. We had some beautiful, beautiful days, and it's my favorite time of the year. And I would walk outside, and the sky is blue, and the trees are beautiful, and everything's wonderful, and I would stop, and I thank God for this, and I go on personally, and I say, if this is just a bad example of what ultimately you have for us in the next life, I can't wait. But to articulate those things, to thank God for them, to talk about his grace, to interact with him, in the same way it's helpful in my relationship with my wife, if I am expressing gratitude towards her, it helps me to be more grateful for her in that same way as we do that with God, it improves. So there are some thoughts for you. Yeah, Lord, I think we often think of you as someone far away, something so fundamentally different than us that we have to somehow prepare ourselves to even enter your presence. But you made all of that. You took care of all that on the cross. Before, Lord, you came into the world. We couldn't refer to you as Father, but now we can. We're your sons and daughters. You also talked to us, Lord, and you told us that we're friends and that you're our friend. And I don't want us to diminish that, God. You are God Almighty. You are King and Lord. You're worthy of our lives, but you're also near. You're close to us. You love us. You're a friend to us. You understand everything we go through. Nobody is more empathetic than you are. In every moment of every day as we are going through life, you were right there with us, God. And help us, like, you know, Katie just talking about this incredibly sweet relationship. That's something that is not for the special. That's something you're offering to all of us, God. Thank you for that. Amen.